that we have the Spirit living within us. Well, the reason you know a lemon tree is a lemon tree is because it's growing lemons. Yeah? That's the fruit. That's the evidence. And we have a beautiful lemon tree in the front of our house, and my wife sings to it. She loves the thing. I prune it, fertilize it, and water it, and she seems to think that by her singing to it, it's growing. But anyway, that's a topic for another day. Priscilla's even named it. What's its name? Dolores. Dolores, my shepherd. So, but what is the evidence that we are followers of Jesus is that we have His Spirit in us and that we do operate in the area of self-control. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. That in love, we have joy. In love, we have received from the Father. We have kindness, long-suffering. All these things are the evidences that the Holy Spirit is in our lives. Amen? And then we are told to be led by the Spirit, continuously washed by the Spirit. This morning, we're going to be looking at something beautiful, and that is the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us for the sake of the church and for one another. So Pastor Pete is going to bring the word this morning. Why don't we make him feel welcome today?
Thank you. Am I alive? Yeah. Well, how's the fruit of the Holy Spirit going with you guys? Have you had a good week?
Yes.
I had a fantastic week until this morning. Because when I left home this morning, I left quite early and I forgot to put my belt on. So I'm pulling my pants up all the time and I thought, well, I'll phone my wife and ask her to bring my belt. So I did, but she forgot. So then I got zip ties. As you can see, I'm old, man. And I asked my wife to put the zip ties on, and I said, just do it, man. And a certain lady in the church said, you're impatient, Pastor Pete.
Manage your emotions in a godly way, yeah?
Anyway, I repented. And my pants are up, thank goodness. It would have been a disaster. So we all fail, don't we? But you know, repenting is a good thing to do when you fail.
Amen.
Say, look, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. And so the Holy Spirit convicts us. And my wife works together with the Holy Spirit to convict me all the time of my sins. But it's good to see you all in church today. And this is a passion of mine, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm really longing for the day when we're going to see the gifts operating, because it seems like it's something that the modern church, Pentecostal church, has moved away from. We're almost like, you know, it's like taboo, and that's only for, it's not for the church anymore. It's only for connect groups or I don't know. But I really believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for today, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are yet to direct us, to help us, to do the works, to see the kingdom of God come. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to speak on that. Probably most of you operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but you don't even know it. And I just want to say right here that there are three spirits operating in the world. There's the Holy Spirit. There's the evil spirit. The devil's going around like a roaring lion. But there's also your human spirit. You know, you even get people that aren't Christians that have got a lot of good in them, because we were all created in the image of God, weren't we? But we have fallen. But yet there's still a lot of good in us. So that's why there's still a lot of good happening in the world. Just because people aren't Christians doesn't mean to say that they're always good. But see, you understand what I'm saying? But we need to learn to differentiate between what the Holy Spirit is saying and what the evil one is saying. Today, people run around all over trying to get direction for their lives. They go to astrologers. I just got a text the other day about, don't I want to subscribe to this astrologer so I can get a message from him every day, you know, to give me direction for my life. You know, today you'll meet someone in the supermarket, and of course you're going to meet someone in the supermarket. Person at the till. But anyway, you know, and people pay for that. And people go to fortune tellers. And all this type of thing is happening a lot in our society because people need direction, especially often when a loved one passes away. People want to try and hear from that loved one, and they'll go to someone to try and call up the spirits and hear. So, and I know people mean well, but you know, we have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And yeah, so let's get into this. I like to call this using your God-given gifts. And I'm going to speak on the three, we call them the eyes of God, the revelation gifts, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. So put your safety belt on. I've got some spare notes here, two sets only. If you want a set, I'll give them to you or I can make some more. Let's read 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14 give a teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how they should operate in the life of the church. Okay, so go read it. If you've got time, start reading it. We'll be having teaching on that for the next two Sundays. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what? The common good. It's not to promote you. This is for the common good of everyone. This is for the good of other people. These gifts operate not so that you can become the spiritual one of the church.
Yeah, true.
Okay, I'm just adding that. It says, to one that is given through the Spirit. Did you hear that? Given through the Spirit.
Wow.
To one is given the message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge. By means of the same Spirit. To another, here we go. Okay. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguish between spirits, and to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. We know that happened on the day of Pentecost as well, when they preached the gospel, was preached as they spoke in tongues, they began to speak other people's languages, and the gospel was preached. It says, all these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. So the Holy Spirit is waiting on you and I to open our hearts to hear what the Father is saying. Come on. And these gifts are so important to enrich our lives and to help us to be able to reach people and help people and direct people's lives, help people direct their lives. I just want to say this. We don't possess the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The gifts of the Holy Spirit belong to God.
Amen.
And He distributes them as He sees necessary.
Yeah.
Okay? So don't come to me and say, oh, Pastor, I've got the gift of faith. Oh, wonderful. Whoop-de-doo. No, you don't possess the gifts.
No.
He may use you. But always bring the glory back to Him.
Amen.
Don't say, I have the gift of tongues or I have the gift of this. So, right. So let's go to the promise of the Holy Spirit, which we've been sharing on. I just want to read this again. Jesus said this, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. And He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. Did you hear that?
Amen.
People go to astrologers to get this, and fortune tellers. The Holy Spirit will direct us about things to come.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will guide us. You want to know about taking that job? Do you want to know about buying another house or what? You can ask the Holy Spirit to direct you. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. I love this. And it says here, He will glorify me. So when the gifts operate, they must always glorify God,
amen,
not you. And He will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit will take what the Father is saying and what Jesus is saying and declare it to us. Therefore, I said that He will take what is mine and declare it to you. So that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, last week, Dave spoke about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Fruit is grown.
Yeah.
It's not given. You've got to grow it. You've got to grow the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life, okay?
Amen.
And like me, patience isn't my strongest one. So I'm working on growing that one a bit more in my life. And I won't say any more about that. Now, the Bible says we must eagerly desire to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, pursue love. I'm glad he puts love first. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Now, I'm not speaking on prophecy today, so later on, Luke, whoever can share on that. So let's get into the first one, a word of wisdom. And I just love this stuff. I'm looking forward to the day when during the worship, someone will come up here. This is the way we do it in our church. If you get a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge about something, or you can discern something, or you have a prophecy, you come up to one of the pastors here and say to them, I'd like to share something. And they may say to you, well, what do you want to share? And then if it's in line with what the Holy Spirit is saying, they'll let you share it. We don't just let... I grew up in church where people used to jump up and start shouting. It was crazy. You never knew what would happen next in church. It was like a circus. Samson, the Bible says we must do everything decently and in order. Come on. Do everything decently and in order. So, a word of wisdom is the result of a revelation by the Holy Spirit of God's wisdom. Wisdom you would not normally receive as a result of study or general knowledge. It's supernatural insight from God to help solve situations. It's normally, you'll get a word of wisdom, it's something to do with the past or the present. It can also be into the future. Okay, and I think often we operate in a word of wisdom without even knowing it. So, but if we just begin to really ask the Holy Spirit to help us, we'll just see how powerful this is in our lives. How do you receive a word of wisdom? You may get a picture in your mind, or you may have a vision or a dream. I'll show you just now. A thought may come into your mind about something, or you just know that you know that you know. Sometimes you just know that you know that you know. And you're going to trust the Holy Spirit that this is the right decision I'm making, because you've got a confirmation of the Holy Spirit who witnesses with your human spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So I like to ask God for advice when I do anything.
Yeah.
And if I make a major decision, I will even go to our elders or people that I trust and share it with them. Ask them, what do you think about this? So it may seem good to you, may seem good to me, it seems good to the Holy Spirit, I'm going to do it. It's always good to get confirmation, you know, when you're not sure what to do. So, I went to a John Wimber conference once in South Africa many years ago. It was probably one of the most fantastic conferences I've ever been to, seminars on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And John Wimber taught how these gifts operate. And he said that when he prays for people, he normally asks them, what do you want me to pray for? And they will say, oh, my husband is leading my father. And then he would say, let's pray. And then he would not pray it loud, but then he'd say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to pray for this person? Okay? He asked the Holy Spirit. And then as he begins to pray, the Holy Spirit would show him what the real problem is. It's not her husband, it's you. No, I'm only joking. That would be my wife, of course. She's not young, I can say what I like. She's in the children's church. I'm only joking, eh? But it's good to ask the Holy Spirit. It's good to get some confirmation, not just to pray any rubbish over. So I like to wait on the Holy Spirit. And then I'm amazed at what I pray sometimes, because the Holy Spirit is speaking through me. Amen. We do say that the Holy Spirit lives in us, doesn't he? We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. So come on, you can live a much better life when you're relying on the Holy Spirit to guide you. This gift is so powerful. And here's an Old Testament example. It's found in 1 Kings 3. It says, the king said, and this is about Elisha. It says, the one says, my son is... Oh, this is a Solomon. Sorry, this goes right back to King Solomon. So these two ladies each have a baby. And that night they go to sleep. And the one woman wakes up and her baby is dead. And she swaps it with the other baby of the woman next to her. And then this woman wakes up with a dead baby and she says, this is not my baby. And she looks and says, that woman's got my baby. And that woman decided she's stealing this woman's baby. And it becomes a major, major problem. What would you do if two women came to you with that problem? Well, they came to King Solomon with this problem. And thank God that even in the Old Testament, a word of wisdom operated. Do you know that? Yeah. The Holy Spirit had always worked, even in the Old Testament. And let's check out what happens here. The king said, this one says, my son is alive and your son is dead. While that one says, no, your son is dead and mine is alive. Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword for the king. And he gave an order, cut the living child in two and give one half to the one mother and one half to the other mother. This was a word of wisdom. The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son. She said to the king, please, my lord, give the baby to that woman. Because that was her child. She didn't want it to die. The other woman said, don't kill him. But the other one said, neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in half. Then the king gave this ruling. Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is the mother. When all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw he had wisdom. Now, you may not have a problem as serious as that, but I can tell you, if you ask the Holy Spirit when you're dealing with situations with your family, your grandchildren sometimes, or whatever it may be, you need wisdom. And Bible says if we ask God for wisdom, he will give us wisdom. Amen? So we need to be operating in this gift. All right, let's go to the New Testament. Where am I? All right, New Testament. The Pharisees went, you know, when they came to Jesus, and they were trying to entangle him, as it says here, and they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, teacher, we know you are true and teach the way of God truthfully. You do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. That's good, eh? We shouldn't be. We shouldn't be swayed by appearances and opinions. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax. They brought him a denarius, and Jesus said, whose likeness and inscription is this? They said, Caesar's. And he said to them, therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And when they heard this, they marveled. Wow, where does this man get this wisdom from? And they left him and went away. You see, Jesus, although he was God, he was 100% human. I believe Jesus operated in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, he wouldn't have had to go and pray and seek the Father. Jesus would go early in the morning. Sometimes he'd go and pray the whole night. And he said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. And this is so powerful that Jesus operated in the gift of wisdom and said, give unto Caesar what Caesar's, and I say, don't give him a cent more, and give unto God what belongs to God, and I say, give him much more. Number two, the word of knowledge. It's the supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of certain facts God reveals concerning the past, present, or future that we would not humanly know about. We are not robots. Have you been filling in a form on internet? And then you've got to tick the box that says, I'm not a robot. Have you done that? Yes. I was doing one the other day. Every 2 seconds, it'd come up. I'm not a robot. Tick. I'm not a robot. Tick. I'm not a flipping robot. I'm human. We're not robots. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to help us. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us. How do we receive a word of wisdom? Also thoughts, visions, or dreams. Association. I remember one day, I was closing the service in prayer and all of a sudden I had a terrible pain in my knee. Terrible. I was standing there and the Holy Spirit said to me, there's someone here that's got a pain in their knee. I want you to pray for them. I didn't say, I've got a pain in my knee, there's someone here, but I just felt an association. And I said, is there anyone here that has a problem with their knee? Well, a man jumped up. He didn't jump up. He got up slowly. And I prayed for him and God healed him in that service. Because this gift operated through association, a word of knowledge. Now, this is the honest gospel truth. This is a relevant one from 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, half these lights weren't working. They just tripped out all the time. I spoke to Patrick, who knows everything about electricity and everything else. Fishing, anything, just ask him. And he said to me, well, you're going to have to go to each one of the fittings and check them to see if that one is the faulty fitting. You know, patience. I didn't have much time. So I walked in here and I said, Holy Spirit, can you show me which fitting is faulty? This is serious. I mean, it's a practical thing, isn't it? So I thought, well, what can I do? And the thought came to me, ask someone to go and switch the lights on at the main board. So I asked Murray, he's not here now. He went to the main board, he switched the lights, and normally it takes 10 seconds for these lights to trip. Put them on. And I looked, and I thought, the one that flickers, that's the light. It was that one. And it flickered, 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 and I thought, that's the one. And it was. And honestly, I mean, honestly, that wasn't human knowledge. And I was able to repair it, still working. But I'm just saying, even in the little things, I don't know if you can go as far as asking the Holy Spirit to give you a parking place. You know, that may be, you got human wisdom for that. But sometimes, I don't know if God's got parking angels. All right, so sometimes you have an association or, you know, John Wimber at that seminar I went to, he said he got on an aeroplane once and he looked at this man and he saw a woman's name on his forehead. He said, that's nothing. But every time he looked at this man, he saw this name. And eventually this man went to the bathroom. So he got up and went and he met him in the queue. And he just said to him, sir, does this name mean anything to you? The man said, don't tell anyone. And that man was in a wrong relationship with that woman's name. So that's a word of knowledge that can operate. Now make sure before you do that. You see, normally when you operate in the gifts, you should ask questions. You never go up to someone and say, the Lord told me. I see a name on your head there. Yay, that said the Lord. You don't say Lord, you say Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory. That's what I grew up with. Oh, anyway. So what's the purpose? To comfort, to direct, to advise, problem solving. You can even try it when you lose your car keys. Pastor Eddie's good with that one. Lord, show me where my phone is. All right. And it can also bring a person to repentance. The gift is often progressive. I think it's normally progressive. Ask the question. Jesus, with the Samaritan woman at the well, do you remember? He got to the well. He didn't say to her, yay, the Lord has shown me, thou hast 5 husbands. He said, could you give me a drink of water, please? Remember the story? And she said, sir, I don't have anything to draw water with. Jesus says, lady, I have living water I can give you. Living water that will lead you to eternal life. She says, give me this water. And Jesus says, go and call your husband and come here. And the woman answered, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying, I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. Elizabeth Taylor. For the older generation, don't know, the younger wouldn't know. Well, I think she had 6 husbands. But anyway, but Jesus, through asking questions, had a word of knowledge that operated through him. And she went and she brought her boyfriend and the whole village came out. And the village turned to the Lord. And you know, Jesus went out of his way to reach this woman. Isn't that incredible? Yeah. And he goes out of his way to wait for you at the well. Yeah. So he can speak into your life concerning your past and your present and your future. because he's an awesome God that cares about every area of your life. Amen. And the plans he has for you is to bless you. Amen. In the Old Testament, I like this one. Once when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servants, saying, "At such and such a place shall be my camp." But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there." And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God told him, and he used to warn him so that he saved himself there more than once or twice. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this king, this thing, not king. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel?" He thought one of his servants was informing. One of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words you speak in your bedroom." Wow. I remember once when I wasn't serving the Lord. I was quite young. And we went to this evangelistic campaign. And this guy, oh my gosh, you didn't dare move while he was preaching. If people got up and wanted to go to the toilet, he said, "Sit in the name of Jesus." I'll never forget. Everyone just sat there. And then he started operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He said, "The Lord shows me there's someone here." Well, that's when I ducked. Because I thought, "Lord, if it's revealed now what I'm doing at the moment, I'm in big trouble." You can run, but you cannot hide. But the point is that Elisha knew what the king was thinking when he was lying on his bed. And you know, I've experienced this before. Sometimes you just know what people are saying about you behind your back. Sometimes you just know in your spirit, don't you? You don't go and tell anyone, but you just know by the person's, by the way the way they speak to you and by what's been said. You just know that you know that you know in your spirit that something is not right. Look at the New Testament example. Nathanael, you know, Philip, Andrew brought Peter to Jesus, and then Peter brought James and John to Jesus, and then someone brought Philip to Jesus, and then Philip brings Nathanael to Jesus. I love this. You know, we should be bringing people to Jesus. Hey, come on. It says, Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" You know, it's like saying, "Can anything good come out of Kalgoorlie or something like that?" I don't know. No, it can. I'm just using an example. Because Nazareth was just a little town, you know, out in the middle of nowhere. And when they came to Nathanael, they said, "Oh, Jesus, can anything good come from that place?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." And Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed. There's no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Wow. Nathanael answered, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." A word of knowledge operated, and Jesus, the Lord, showed him Nathanael, who was a doubter, Nathanael who didn't believe, the Lord showed him. And that's why Jesus could have compassion. When you pray for people and the gifts of the Spirit operate, the Lord will give you insight into that person's problem sometimes. And when you see them, you're not going to judge them. You're going to love them. You're going to speak gently into their lives. You're going to ask them a question and you're going to help them. That's what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for. Don't you love this?
Yeah.
Say something. Now, here's one of my favorite stories in the New Testament. And don't worry, I'm coming in for a landing. Peter and Cornelius. I'd love to read the whole chapter, but there isn't time. Peter. Cornelius. It says, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius. He was a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort. A devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously. He didn't give his alms. It wasn't organ donation. To give alms meant to give money, okay? And it says here, so every time he gave money, ka-ching, in heaven. You know, Everything we give is recorded in heaven. Did you know that? And that's why I love to be generous. It says he was generous. Miracles come to generous people. The world of generous people gets bigger and bigger. The world of tightwad people gets smaller and smaller. It says, and pray continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, saw a vision. An angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. He stared at him in terror and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms, your giving, have ascended as a memorial before God. Wow. Your what? Your prayers and your giving have come up as a memorial before God. That's why Luke shared this morning about giving, how important it is for us to bring our tithes and offerings. God records it. Ka-ching! Okay, and it says, now send to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He's lodging with Simon, a tanner whose house is by the sea. Go to the next slide, please. There's my dear friend, Wilmer Ray, and his wife, Pam. As you know, Wilmer Ray passed away last year. But 3 years ago, we were honored, privileged to go to Israel with them. That is Simon the Tanner's house. It's in Joppa, or they call it Jaffa, and it's in Tel Aviv, the modern city of Tel Aviv. And then you go down to the old part of the city called Jaffa, and then we went on this little tour there, and then they brought us to Simon the Tanner's house. That's where Peter was sleeping upstairs there. And Peter just had the vision of all the pork chops and prawns coming out of heaven. You remember that? He saw these pork chops and prawns. And he said, Lord, please, no, I can't eat that. The Lord said, you eat everything. And so the Lord delivered him. That's why we can eat crayfish and prawns now. But anyway, I'm not preaching on that today. But there in that house, that's the place my wife got lost on the tour. We all moved on and she stayed behind. She was taking photos. Next minute, where's Sandra? The whole tour stops. We all get photos. I had to show them all photos of her, send them to their phones. They all go out. We're searching for Sandra for 3 hours. 3 hours. And eventually I found her. Hey? By then she was crying. I thought someone in Egypt or something abducted her. Anyway, well, you know, things happen there in Israel. I was really worried, but thank God I found her. And then everyone knew who we were after that. Hello, Sandra. Is Sandra on the bus? You didn't need a word of knowledge there. And so Cornelius has this vision, and the Lord speaks to him through a word of knowledge and says, call Peter. Peter's 60 k's away in Caesarea. No, he's 60 k's away. Anyway, he sends his servants down, even got the address, and they go there. And Peter is now pondering the pork chops and the prawns. And the Lord says to him, there's someone at the door that's coming to see you. Listen to this. And Peter was pondering the vision. And the Spirit said to him, behold, 3 men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation. I have sent them. Wow. See how the gift of the Spirit operates? He's lying in bed. I mean, some of you may be lying in bed and the Lord brings someone to your mind. Get up. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Send them a text. Are you okay? How are you? Praying for you, thinking of you. Don't say, yay, thus says the Lord. He just spoke to me in my sleep. Now, don't get all spiritual. I don't like it when people get all spiritual. Just be yourself, okay? Yeah. Ask a question. Yeah. All right, we're going on to the last one now. Discerning of spirits. Supernatural insight into the spirit world to know something is from God, the devil, or the human spirit, which I spoke to you about. This is when your antenna receives a signal from God. Now, this is one of the gifts that the Lord operates quite strongly in my life. When you're a pastor, you need this gift. And it can be a problem because often you see the problem coming before you meet it. And I mean, a few times I've seen someone come through this front door and, oh, here comes trouble. I don't know, you just know. You can discern something in your spirit. There's just something over that person. And I'm not being all spiritual now, but you know what I mean. Sometimes you can pick things up. You just speak to them, oh, this person is just so full of themselves, and they just, you can discern, yes, trouble. So, and this is the, we've got to be very careful when you operate in this gift. A thought comes into your mind, discern good from bad. It does not feel right in your spirit. Have you ever felt that? You meet someone, something just doesn't feel good in you. Or someone makes you a promise or something. Just, you just know the person's lying to you. You're able to discern whether it's a lie or the truth. You're not always sure, but sometimes you get a check in your spirit. You know what I'm saying? You discern. Or you see the anointing on someone. Sometimes you can just see the Lord is touching this person. This person's full of the joy of the Lord. You can discern that. And it's a gift of the Holy Spirit that overrides the human spirit. Okay. There's an example in the Old Testament. The next two slides, I just want to finish now, where Elisha is surrounded, the Syrian army surround them, and he's in his bedroom, and Gehazi, his servant, comes. He says, Elisha, we are surrounded by an army. And Elisha says, oh, Lord, please just let him have a word of knowledge. Open his eyes. And immediately Gehazi could see the angels of God surrounding them. And God opened his eyes with a word of knowledge. So, coming in for a landing right now. 1 John 4 says this, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Yeah. To see whether they are from God. You need to test something. Even when you get a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, or you're going to operate in one of the gifts, you need to make sure that you are operating through the Holy Spirit's operating through you. It's not just your spirit. And that's often when I will just go to Luke or Eddie or Dave or someone I trust, yeah, Patrick, whatever, and say, what do you think? I've got this feeling in me that we should do this or that. And the Holy Spirit will confirm it through another person. Amen. But we need to test the spirits, the Bible says, because many false prophets have gone into the world. They come like wolves in sheep's clothing, right into the church, and they deceive many. And I've been around for 38 years in full-time ministry. We've had a few wolves come in. They look just like sheep, as an angel of light, but they leave just as quickly when we discern what the problem is. In conclusion, how should these gifts operate? Always through love. Right in the middle of 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, the two chapters on the gifts, Paul says this, if I speak in tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Someone beat the cymbals. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. I've seen people try to operate in the gifts, but they're bombastic, arrogant. The Lord told me this. And it just does more harm than good. Isn't that true? We've got to operate out of love. If I have all faith, says I can remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I have, and I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Here comes the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It says, love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. Don't you get irritable? It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. It believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, that we would not be directionless. Lord, so that we would not be alone. So that we would not be comfortless. You sent the Holy Spirit to come alongside us as the Paracletos, to help us, to comfort us, to guide us, direct us. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for these precious gifts that are available to us. We cannot purchase them, but you have given them to us, Lord. And forgive us, Lord, when we have not desired them. Forgive us, Lord, when we've just on our own thing. And help us to become more tuned in, to get our antennas up every day. Say, Holy Spirit, can you guide me and help me and direct my paths? And Father, I pray that sometimes we get so busy in life and we get all blocked up with the things of this world and we have no time to listen. Forgive us, Holy Spirit. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. Father, forgive us that we will have ears to hear what you are saying. In Jesus' name. Amen. We can have communion now. And I've chosen a scripture I've never used before for communion. 1 John 4, which Luke shared in the devotions room this morning. Dear friends, let us love one another. Make sure you get your communion now. Let's grab mine. Put your hand up if you don't have one of these sachets with the communion in. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us, we also love one another. We ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us. His love is made complete in us. And this is how we know that we live in him. And he in us, he has given us his Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father sent his Son to be Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and they in God. And we know and rely on the love of God as for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. And this love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment in this world that we are like Jesus. There's no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to have God, to love God, yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have been seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. What a powerful word. God loves us so much. We know that he gave his only Son. His Son was willing to lay down his life for us. I often think, Jesus, when you died on that cross, did you see all my sins? And it's like the Lord said, I saw all your sins, but I still died for you. I knew every sin you would commit, but I still love you. I lay down my life for you. And maybe you, like me, often feel unworthy. Often feel, am I going to make it? And the Lord just reaches out and he loves you this morning. He says, I love you. If your son does something wrong, you're going to forgive him, aren't you? And you're going to love him and welcome him back into your house like the prodigal father. How much more our heavenly Father? So we're going to eat this bread and drink this cup this morning. And the Lord said, we mustn't do it in an unworthy manner. We've just read that we need to love one another. And there's anyone in your life that you don't love, anyone in your life who you hate, you need to deal with that. Even if they've gone on, and ask God to forgive you for that wrong attitude you've had in your heart and repent of it this morning. And let's just examine ourselves. Say, Lord, is there anything in me? As far as the fruit of the Spirit goes, Lord, is there anything in me that doesn't please you? Forgive me. Can we just search our hearts right now for 1 minute? Thank you, Father. Just ask him to forgive you. And let's eat this bread together. This is my body that was broken for you. Eat it in remembrance of me. Thank you, Jesus. In the same way, he took the cup and he said, this is the new covenant of my blood. It's a covenant signed in the blood of Jesus. Tetelestai, he said, it is finished. Signed and sealed. Let's drink this together, knowing that the blood of Jesus washes away all our sins and cleanses us. In Jesus' name, let's drink together. Thank you, Father. Do you want to close? Thank you, Lord.
Awesome. While I'm up here, well, just pray for us. Why don't we just thank Pastor Pete for that great word this morning. Wasn't that a great word? And, but I don't know about you, but I think I laughed all the way through his message this morning. That was awesome. Need a bit of joy this morning. And thank you so much for sharing that with us. Next week, we'll do part two on the gifts of the Spirit and see where the Lord leads us. Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, I pray that this week, Lord, that you lead us and you guide us by your Spirit, Lord. Oh God, we want to be led by your Spirit. Lord, we want to grow these fruits of the Spirit. Lord, grow them in us this week, God. Grow every one of those things in our lives, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that, Lord, those who are eagerly desiring these gifts, Lord, that you would bless them with these gifts for your glory, Lord. The gift of knowledge, the gift of wisdom, Lord, the gift of discernment, God. I pray, Lord, that you grow these in our lives, Lord, as we eagerly desire them, Lord, as your word says for us to do, God. Grow them in us, Lord. Lord, we ask this in your name this morning, God, and we thank you for this week that is to come. We pray you lead and guide us, Lord, in this next week. In Jesus' name, amen.